love you tonight, Lord. We're here to worship you. We're here, Lord, to do your will and no other reason. We praise you for the precious blood of the cross that washes away our sins. We praise you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. For dying for sinners, for your mighty resurrection, Lord. We praise you that you are in control of this world, Lord. You know what's going on, and your power intervenes, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you for each family represented here. I pray you'll forgive us our many sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that tonight each person may receive something from Jesus through the Holy Spirit that will meet the need for spirit, soul, or body, Lord. Where the need is, we pray. We cannot do it ourselves. We glorify the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's turn to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, and we'll read verses 4 through 7 of Isaiah 42 in the King James. Isaiah 42, and we'll start with verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, this passage is talking about Christ. And as we know from Galatians 4:19, that Christ is being formed in us. And as he is being formed in us, and to the extent that he is formed in us, this becomes true of us. There's nothing that the church can do in its own strength. The greatest thing that the Christian church can do is to bow and travail before the Lord and allow God to form Christ in us. In Galatians 4:19, it says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The church has a multitude of programs, all of which are good and commendable, but not as effective in the spiritual realm as is the ministry of Christ. And so the supreme purpose of the church, its obligation, is to allow the ministry to minister and to give our lives such that Christ is brought forth in us. And as Christ is brought forth in us, this passage becomes true of us. We talked before about, in verse 2, is not trying to lift up his voice in the street. We don't have to strive to do God's will. If Christ is in us, the job will get done through the power of God. We talked in verse 3 about the fact that God cares for the wounded Christians, and there are many Christians that are wounded, that are weak, and God is not intent on crushing them because they're not conquering or victorious If they hang on in the Lord and are truly sincere and are not trying to use God, a lot of Christians today are trying to use God to get their way. God will have none of that. God will never be a means to an end in your life. You're trying to make God a means to an end. You're on the wrong track. You'll end up in deception. God will be a means to no man's ends. God is the end. Praise the Lord. And when God ever becomes a means to what we want, we are idolaters. We're trying to use God. We're trying to use the love of Christ, much as a woman might try to get a man to marry her so that she could exploit his wealth or his talent or his good looks. God will have none of it. We either love God and serve God for God alone, or we are in idolatry. But if a person is wounded and loves the Lord, but they are weak, God, it says, will not break that one, and he will not quench their little light, but he shall bring forth judgment unto truth in their lives. So if you're a weak Christian, verse 3, take heart. And our attitude, if we're living victoriously, should not be to try to be super spiritual and gathering together and being some big shots, but to help those who are weak. We always ought to have concern for the weak Christian who's always being taken captive by the devil. And always come back saying, pray for me, I fell off the wagon again. And we pray for them, we pray for them 1,000 times, we pray for them. Because sometimes God gets a hold of them and makes marvelous Christians out of the weak. We have short patience for people that have the religious smarts and are trying to use God for their own ends or be frivolous religiously. All right, in verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. When we fail and when we're discouraged, it's because we're trying to do God's will in our own self. Did you ever try to please anybody and fail? Did you ever try to do something for somebody and they didn't really want it? You wanted them to want it. You ever do that? And then when they aren't all overjoyed with it, you get angry. See? How come you don't want what I wanted for you to want so that I could do it and please you? See? God isn't asking us to try to psych him out, figure out what he wants, and work like mad to do it. He wants union. He wants us to find out what he wants and to do it. And so when we get on our religious kick, we figure, well, this is what God, wouldn't this help you out, Lord? This would be wonderful if I was to do this. Help me to do this, that, or the next thing. And God says, well, you know, if you're bound determined to do it, do it. But he doesn't help us. And, we're doing it all in the name of the cross. And we're just as right as anything anybody ever was. Just as smart. And what happens is we peter out. And then we think, what happened? God, you're not answering my prayer. Don't you know I'm doing all this to please you? Lord, don't you know how much I love you and I'm breaking my neck to please you? And God is away in heaven somewhere visiting because he sure doesn't pay attention to what we're doing. Because, you see, we're not doing that for God. We're trying to please God for our own reasons and in our own way. And pretty soon we run into problems and God doesn't help us. And then we do a burn on God. Just like if we try to help somebody and they don't appreciate it. Well, you know, how come you don't appreciate what I'm doing? Here I am doing all this stuff to please you and you don't appreciate it. Well, they don't appreciate it because they didn't want it. And the only reason they put up with it is to please you. They have the gift of the Magi going there. That's right. That's true of a lot of people. Isn't that true? I bet you everyone in this building has had that happen to them. Either happened to them or did it to somebody else. And then when they don't appreciate it and are not eternally grateful for your heroic efforts, then you're angry. Right? And the whole thing is a self-trip. They didn't want that. You're so much of a hurry trying to help them, you never did find out what they wanted. And a lot of Christians are like that. They think they know what God wants and set out to do it without the Lord. But when Jesus gives us a task to do, it will never quit. It will never fail. We will not be discouraged, because this is so true of the ministry. If the Lord tells you to do something, and you start off in high hopes, ah, boy, now the Lord has sprung me and I'm free to minister, and he sends you out to pastor somewhere to be an evangelist or to visit your next door neighbor or whatever it may be, and it's good to be used of the Lord. It's honey, wonderful to be in the King's service, nothing like it. But the first thing you know, if you're really son of the Lord, you run smack into the dragon. You run right into the devil. And he sets up the most frustrating, perverse, obnoxious, dreadful roadblocks that you can imagine. And they knock you right back on your fortitude. I'll tell you that right now. And how wonderful it is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this isn't my trip. I never had any intention. You told me to do this. Now, Lord, if this fails, that's your problem, not mine. I don't care if it sinks or swims. That's your problem. And if you're really in the Lord, God will buoy you up, because, you see, he'll supply the money. He'll make a way where there is no way, because, you see, you didn't send yourself. The Lord sent you, and you will not fail, and you will not be discouraged. But if you sent yourself in the name of the Lord and these things come, and you begin to think about it, you think, why am I getting beat about the head? I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm not even sure the Lord sent me. You've got nothing to hang on to. It really works that simply. But when the Lord sends you, I don't care if hell itself would come up to meet you. It cannot touch you, because you just say, well, Father, what's next? And boy, he sure doesn't abandon you. He looks down, he says, well, I sent that guy there. I guess I better do something about it. And that's just the way it works. Just as simple as that. And the money comes in, and the answers to prayer. And furthermore, you're doing no burn inside. You're just doing your thing in the Lord. And he never fails. For he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So that's the difference between dead works and the rest of God. And the dead works, it's we're trying to please the Lord with what we think he wants, or trying to meet the need or the call. And the other one is where we have died in the Lord and our works just kind of follow us. They just, it's the Lord's power, not ours. It's a wonderful, restful way. And they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You really do. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Even the young men, the youth, fail and are faint. The young lions suffer hunger. But they that wait upon the Lord lack no good thing. And their strength is eternal. Absolutely eternal. And they're not mad at people, because they don't expect anything from people. And they're not mad at God, because God's given them nothing but good things. Praise the Lord. That's more true of us the more Christ is formed in us, that this becomes true. Till he have set judgment in the earth. Now, we have had a false goal in Christianity, worldwide, historically. Somewhere since the first century, the kingdom of God message that was preached by John the Baptist and Jesus was converted into a church message in which the goal of Christianity became to go to heaven when you die. That goal is so widespread, so historically venerable and accepted by all the Christians in the world, that it may take a generation of people before it's really reoriented toward the truth. God has done many restorations of truth to his church since the days of Martin Luther. God started the restoration of his church in the days of Martin Luther with the very simple notion that the just live by faith, not by beating themselves with whips and fasting and trying to wrench God's arm. They just walk in the faith which works through obedience. And that doctrine's warped today, too, but I don't wish to go into that now. And then little by little, God added water baptism, by immersion, the reality of the born-again experience, holiness. And then in the last century, the reality of the return of Jesus to the earth. That was lost for many years. And then at the turn of the century, tongues. And now the body of Christ, the message, always been in the Bible, but were lost in the dark ages of the church. And now we have come to the time, another little increment of truth along the way, that God is reorienting the church toward its role. God has not, let's put it very simply, the goal of the kingdom of God, now listen, the goal of the kingdom of God is not to bring men to heaven. The goal of the kingdom of God is to bring heaven to men. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal of the kingdom of God. If you don't believe me, search the scriptures and find in the Old Testament or the New where the prophets or the apostles ever stressed are going to heaven. You will not find it because it's not biblical. The message of the Old Testament and the New is the coming of the kingdom of God to the earth. This is Christ's inheritance. We would have nothing to do in heaven. We don't belong there. We were not formed there. We belong in the earth. And the great hope of the Christian church is that we will be raised from the dead. We're coming to the Easter season. And the message of Easter is not that Christ's spirit was raised from the dead. But what? What? His body was raised from the dead. Now, don't you see, saints, don't you see that if God's goal for us was heaven, there would be no purpose in the resurrection? How do you go to heaven? All you have to do is what? Die saved. You don't have to be resurrected to go to heaven. You go to heaven when you die. You don't need a body to go to heaven. Heaven is a spiritual realm. And if you are saved, although there's not much scripture for this, but all we have really is the thief on the cross, because it is not the emphasis of the scriptures. But we assume, from what Paul said and the thief on the cross, that every Christian, the saved Christian, when he dies, goes to paradise. I believe that personally, though the scripture does not stress it. All we have to go by is that Jesus said to the thief, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise," and Paul, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you see, little is said because it's not the emphasis. But you need no resurrection. You need no resurrection. The purpose of the resurrection is so that we can live upon the earth. You see what a shocker that is? That means that our whole view of what God is doing to us must be altered, because if you believe that God's purpose in you is that merely that after you die you go up to heaven to do you know not what, then you will probably try to get as much fun out of this world as you can, because after you die you're going to another one, which is far better. But if you believe that God's purpose in saving you is to release the peoples of the earth, and that every day of your life is a training period for you so that you can minister to people, you will live differently. You will have an entirely different orientation to the Christian walk. See, we're not waiting to die and go to heaven. We are in a training so that we can release people. Now look at it. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has done what? Set judgment, or literally justice. When we think of judgment, we think of something bad. This does not mean judgment in a bad sense. It means justice. It means the judging between that which is good and that which is evil. Now, of all the things, now you've read the paper today, or probably watched the television, probably one of the two, or heard the radio, one of the three, you're probably aware that if the Russians run the blockade, that and the United States will have to side with England, we have no choice, or else we just better dig a hole and crawl in. We have World War III starting on 2 days. Because we're not going to leave England to face Soviet men of war. We're not going to do it. So if Russia decides to run that blockade around the Falkland Islands, we are in war come Sunday. Now, you may not see that, but that is as plain as a cherry on an ice cream sundae. It's simple, simple logic. Whether war starts there or whenever it starts, what is the greatest need in the world today? Isn't it that judgment and justice will be established for all people so that they will be treated fairly, so that sin will be punished and the righteous will be blessed, and all people will learn the difference between right and wrong? Isn't that the greatest need in the world today? Well, that's why we have Christian schools, to try to teach children the difference between right and wrong. Am I correct? It isn't to learn about. The stuff I taught Leslie, I taught this man over here world history. And when he was a young one in school, in a Christian school, he doesn't even remember I taught him. much less what I taught him. All he remembers is my wife made a millennial chart, a sequential dispensational type chart. That he remembers. We still got that chart, by the way, and he's seen it. He remembers that. But I can remember sitting there, and Leslie's and the Olson boy, their minds a million miles away, and I'm talking to them about the kings of England. They could not care less. They were interested in one thing, and that was cars. Nothing else. Cars. I don't even think they were interested in girls. They were interested in cars. You don't remember that, I'm sure. But I remember that like it were yesterday. And Leslie sitting there and looking at me, you know, and his mind and me, and I'm trying to talk to him about this king and the dates and everything. That isn't where the action is. Look at all the stuff you learn in school. And some sixth grade teacher labored over you how many bananas they exported from Brazil in 1930. And don't you remember that? Just as clearly as can be. And how to solve quadratic equations, you remember all of that? No, you don't remember that. Probably what you remember is when the teacher didn't let you go to the bathroom soon enough in the second grade or something. That you remember. Or you went to a party when you were a teenager and you were embarrassed because you had a rash or something. All this stuff, teachers labor manfully, except most of them are female, but male or female, they all labor manfully to pump this stuff. But the main thing that you learn in your family and in school that stands you instead is the difference between right and wrong. Now think about that. What do you want for your children? What do you want for them? You stop and think, what you want for them more than anything else is to know the difference between right and wrong, and to choose that which is right because it's wholesome and good. You want them to know that dope is wrong. You want them to know that beer is wrong. It's not like it's presented on television, a bunch of healthy guys. It's a bunch of people that lost their families and their reputation and everything else. I know, we've had enough drunks in our family. The beer commercials do not impress me very much. You want your son, your daughter, to know that fornication is wrong. that drinking is wrong, that lying is wrong, that stealing is wrong. You want them to know that industry and honesty and truthfulness are right. That's the greatest thing in life, isn't it? Next to God is to knowing the difference between right and wrong. Simple as that. If your dad, your mom are people of integrity, and they always tell the truth, and they're always dependable, you watch the kids. They may have their capers, but it comes back to them when they're about 25. And they remember, my dad never lied to me. He never lied to me once. I never saw my parents steal. They were faithful. They worked hard. And it'll come back to you after you get through your early 20 capers. You see, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he doesn't depart from it. And what we're training them is to choose the good. Now that, the world needs that more than anything else. Universities, public schools, high schools, churches, everything in this crazy world is devoted to teach people the difference between the right and the wrong. And the more education and the more money that goes into it, and the more time and the more big names and the more committees, the more fouled up the world becomes. Because the only way this world is ever going to gain judgment in the sense of justice, not in the sense of wiping out everybody, but in the sense of protecting the innocent and teaching them and saving the children and having honest government and having a world that works for you, where God doesn't have to punish us constantly, is the world is waiting today for the church to make up its mind to lay down its life so that Christ can be formed. And until he is formed, the world will go from war to war to Idi Amin's and Adolf Hitler's and Stalin's and Ivan the Terrible's and Tamerlane's, and on it will go until the church is willing to lay down its life. And it is not willing today. You say, that's harsh. All right, let me ask you a question. Are you willing? Will you give it all up? Your chance to be something, your hopes and dreams, your ideas, your concepts, your talents, your skills, your ability in the church and in the world, are you willing to give it all up? See what I mean? Because before Christ can be formed, God must have people who will lay down their life and take up their cross and follow Jesus. You know, we get saved and we get into the church work and we're into that, and then our ambition is not expressed in the secular realm but in the religious realm. Either case, Christ gets wiped out. Either case, we hang on to our own life. It doesn't take brains, it doesn't take beauty, it doesn't take an education, it doesn't take strength or anything else. Size, stature, all that God is looking for is a man or woman, boy or girl, who will give his life to Jesus. I'm not talking about saying the four steps of salvation. That isn't giving your life to Jesus. That's making a theological assent to truth. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The devils know it. That's not giving your life to Jesus. That's assenting to facts in the spiritual realm. You say, oh, he gave his life to Jesus. He did? What you mean is he bowed under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and said yes to he knows not what. When giving your life to Jesus is a calculated move made by a person who knows what he's doing. Who says, Lord, I see that I'm not going to be able to please you by my own schemes. And in order for you to bring judgment into the earth, see, that it isn't heaven directed, it's earth. This is where the need is. In order for you to do this through me, I must forsake my own trip. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. It's talking about the altar of burnt offering. You slay your beef and you put it on the altar. There's nothing left but God. Praise the Lord. You see what I mean? You think the church is ready for that, to abandon its cathedrals and its pomp and its ceremony and its denominationalism and its striving and its sectarianism and its endless programs and its cantatas? You know, listen, I know about cantatas. I used to lead them. I used to compose them. That's right. I was an organist in a Lutheran church one time. And at Easter, I composed the anthem, played it, conducted it from a pipe organ. My own composition. I know that root. I know what it's like. That's right. But there's something else involved. And it's not cute little Thompson doing his religious thing. God is looking for people who will die. And it may take another generation. It may take another generation. The young people can hear. They can hear. The older people, we need help because we've heard so many things before and we've learned to play the game and we're able to turn off and go out and say, well, wasn't that nice? Oh boy, that Brother Thompson, he's a doll. He yells sometimes, it's a bore, but he's all right. God loves him. But the younger people today, I notice, it's not that way. They say, what? What did you say? Then they begin to read the Bible. Is that right? Man, Lord. Then they begin to wrestle around, come crying, you know, God help me. They see the need. He shall not fail till he has set judgment on the earth. How many here have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you ever pray that? How many ever prayed it and believed it? It will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. There'll be a day when God's will is being done in this earth exactly as it is in heaven. Not one shade less. Exactly. Precisely. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is God going to accomplish that? Through us. Through us. When he can get a group of people who will quit talking about it and do it. Ha! You say, if I do that, I'll have a horrid life. No, you won't. You'll have the best life you ever lived, but it's a leap in the dark. Believe me, this world, I don't care whether you're unsaved, saved, or give your life to God, or whatever you do, you're going to be crucified. See, everybody is crucified, even God. That's why there are three crosses on the hill and not one. If there was one cross on the hill, we'd say, well, Christ was crucified, God was crucified, but you see, there was three. There were three crosses. The unsaved was crucified, the saved was crucified, and God was crucified. And that's why Paul says, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's no way out of it. You can be unsaved, I don't want anything to do, and you think you're going to have a happy life? The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. Or you can be a Christian and say, well, I hear what the man is preaching, but that's too rich for my blood. I'll take my chances that God will save me. I know he said I wouldn't be worthy to be a disciple if I didn't hate father and mother, lay down my life. I understand that, but who's doing it? And so God must have changed his mind. Therefore, I'll escape this onerous thing. You know what? You're going to be crucified. You will be. You'll get your nest so secure, you'll have every feather in your nest combed. And you'll know where it is. This feather goes here. And it's this deep. And you'll look out at the world, and you know what'll happen? The bottom will fall out of it. The bottom will fall out of it. You'll be crucified. And if on the other hand you say, yes, I'm going to do God's will, I mean, God is to be feared and I fear God and I'm not going to get sucked in with the current jazz, I really am going to do what the book says. That means, all right, I take up my cross, Lord, and I follow you. Now what? You're going to be crucified. Hey, you can't get away from it. But the difference is in the resurrection. See, the world isn't resurrected at all. He just dies. His pain avails nothing. The disobedient Christian who tries to wear two hats, divide his life into the sacred and the secular, give God 10%, 1/7 of his time, 1/10 of his money, and while he goes about and asks God to bless him like he did Abraham, the Christian who tries to bring the old covenant into the new, he'll be raised, but he'll be raised under stripes. So, well, where does them stripes come in? Well, Jesus talked about them, didn't he? That's right. But the person who gives himself to God without reservation, he'll be crucified too, but he will be raised. And not alone, mind you, because when a corn of wheat is willing to fall into the ground and die, it brings forth much fruit. Praise the Lord! So you're going to get it anyway. You might as well make it count. If you think you're not going to get it, you're making a mistake. You will. You can't head yourself off like that. All right. He will do it. He will set justice in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. The islands, all the ends of the earth someday, will be under the jurisdiction of Christ and his victorious saints. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Webb was talking about the might of God. We do not understand the might of God. We cannot comprehend that out there that our sun is a medium-sized star. We cannot comprehend that just in our galaxy alone, just in the Milky Way galaxy, where our sun, our little solar system, isn't even mentionable. We're in a cigar-shaped galaxy where somewhere near the center of it, there are so many suns, and no scientist knows how many satellite planets around, how many suns, the size, the mass, and the Milky Way galaxy is just one among millions of galaxies that go on in our sight. You cannot comprehend it. There is no way to comprehend that. And the fact of the matter is, if you want to speak mathematically, relatively speaking, space is uninhabited. There is so much more space than there is mass in space, that relatively speaking, with all these galaxies of mass, space is relatively uninhabited. It is absolutely incomprehensible. There is no end to it. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's what he's saying here. He knows, we look and we say, oh, if God sent me forth, what would it be if he sent me to Tibet, or sent me to the Russians, or sent me to India, or sent me to Iraq, or Iran, or the Near East, or something. And you see, and that comes in your mind, you think, well, I don't mind serving the Lord, but what if he sent me to some place? What would I do, you know? And so God says, look, I am the one that stretched forth the heavens. I am the one that is sending you. I have almighty power. And brother, sister, there's 4.5 billion people in the world today, and I don't know how many 100 million Christians, maybe 200 million Christians, maybe 500 million Christians all told. I don't know. But I do know that God is interested in every one of them. Everyone. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It didn't say to preach it to every creature in the United States. It didn't say to preach it to every creature in the free nations. He said, God said, he that stretched out the heavens said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe that. I believe in the day in which we're living that the Spirit is speaking clearly that God is going to send his saints into every nation. And the communists have nothing to do with it. They have no power against God. The Mohammedans have no power against God. We're wasting our time when we study these statistics about Mohammedanism is going to overrun the world. Don't you know in every century it has appeared like the devil's going to overrun the world? I can remember the day when it looked like Hitler was going to overrun the world. Brother, sister, it will never happen. The devil rattles a saber in every generation. And the longer you live, the more you realize that our problems are no different from our ancestors when they were fighting wolves and influenza going across the country. And prior to that, it was other problems, the Black Plague. And prior to that, it was the Saracens. And prior to that, it was the Roman Empire. It's always something that's going to overdo God. And listen, they never have and they never will. And God is looking for His church to recognize that fact, that God is interested in every creature. And none of them belong to the devil. And none of them belong to the communists. The communists are just like people like you and me that are following an ideology. No different. They need to be saved like we do. No different. The church is, it isn't, God isn't looking down and favoring the free nation or anything of the kind. The Bible says preach the gospel to every creature. And we can either believe it or not. And if we believe it, then we don't rush out and try to do it. We go to God and say, God, this is what you said. Here am I, send me. Lord, I am expendable. Take this. You say, I'm too old. You're not too old. I don't care if you're 94. I'm serious. Because the devil uses that age thing. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I'm too this. You're too nothing. Jesus is older than you. And he's still in business, isn't he? How many know that Jesus is still in business? How many know that age has nothing to do with it? When I was in Bible school, there was an elderly lady came by. Brother Dow may remember. I remember her testimony in chapel. This woman was in her 60s. God sent her to Africa. She had no denomination. She had no backing. She had no anything. God said to her to go to Africa. She set her house in order and went down to where the boat was and somebody handed her the money. That actually happened. I heard her testimony. She got over there, one poor, unsupported soul with nobody to meet her. Got over there with a suitcase full of Sunday school materials, went out in the bush, collared a couple of black kids and sat down and started teaching them out of Sunday school material. And when she, you may remember that lady, Brother Dow, and when God was through her, sent her back, sent the money, provided the whole bit. I can remember Isabel Kuhn's testimony in Ascent to the Hills. How many read that, Isabel Kuhn? And up she went to the people in Vietnam before the Vietnam War. Now, here she was, a woman, back, retired, thought her life was over. She's in her 50s. And God sends her back. She says, where are the men? Where are the men? Here's this 50-year-old woman going up to the mountains in Vietnam by herself. And the little household demons at the Vietnam we're worshiping, saying to the people, we can't speak to you anymore, the Jesus people are coming. Because they're worshiping demons. And before this big thing came in Vietnam, those people were saved by the tribes were saved. Because the headmaster got saved, everybody got saved in the tribe. Isabel Kuhn, a Baptist, going, didn't have any support. She says, where are the men? Where are the men? I'll tell you where the men were. They were too old, too young, too busy, it wasn't time, there was no money. That's how we lost Japan. That's how we lost Japan. Because when MacArthur called for missionaries, he says the country is wide open. Wide open after World War II. And something like 5 missionaries were sent to the United States. It should have been 50,000. And it'd be a saved nation today instead of a tough nation to preach in. You see, we've got the eternal excuse. And after the war in 1945, there's no money in the missionary chest to send the missionaries. What's down? Well, now we've got to get our families back together and get the thing going. See, there's always something. But Isabel Kuhn went. And she didn't even have support or anything. She'd take her Bible. They had no Bibles. And she'd tear one page out of the Bible and give it to the headman and go on her way. One page is all they had. So little. There's so much. And a handful of people end up doing the whole thing. You say, it's too late for me. Two more years, I've got my retirement. I tell you what's going to happen. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. You're not hearing the gospel. You're going to end up with oxygen tubes in your nose and your family gathered around. And you're going to go your way. And you're going to stand with those who did not do their best for Jesus. And you're going to be faced with a frown instead of a crown. Believe it. You're not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, unless you do good. Oh, but I'm not called. I'm not a minister. I'm this. I'm that. I know my weaknesses. This and that, and my gout, and my bad heart, and my stomach. See? I'm not educated. I'm not a minister. And on they go. And the promise of God holds solid. go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we don't say, I can't, I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm almost retired. We go to God and we say, Lord, we believe that, and we believe every creature, and we believe that you're the God that stretched out the heavens, and we believe that you can do it. Now, Lord, here am I. If you want to use nothing, here I am. Can I get through the middle-class American wall? I'm living when I'm preaching. I left my profession. I'm living it. I'm not telling you something I'm not doing. I'm far harsher on myself than I'll ever be on any congregation. I'm merciless on myself. That's the truth. I'm living what I'm doing. I had a beautiful Sunday school class. Guys, an elementary school principal in a public school had an adult Sunday school class in a large, beautiful church of about 120, 130 people. It was 100, sometimes it would run 150. An adult class. There isn't a person in the world lift up their tongue next to me and say, Brother Thompson, you're doing wrong. Here I was giving myself for this class. It was bigger than most Assembly of God churches in the United States. That's what the brass told me. It says, your class is bigger than the average Assembly of God church in the United States. They want me to take out papers. There's a person with fine fault with that. Here he is, he's a good man. He's working in public school. That's a good work. He's a Christian and everything. See? But I wasn't content, so I started praying, going to my class 6:30 in the morning. Sunday school started 9:45. Prayed from 6:30 to 9:45 Sunday morning. You pray like that, and I didn't fancy myself a minister. I don't fancy myself a minister in that sense. But I want to use my talents, because I remember about the guy that didn't use his. I don't want anything like that. Don't you see? You can't say, well, I'm not a minister like Brother Thompson or Brother Dowell, or I'm not this or that. Brother Dowell was not born a minister. I've heard his stories for, 48, 58, 68, 78, 82. And I still haven't figured out what he did when he was a boy. But it must have been exciting.
Hands and our hearts and our voices to God. Lord, it's the day of the latter rain, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We humble our souls, Lord. We cry for the latter rain, hallelujah. Oh, the harvest rain, the harvest rain. Oh, come and rain righteousness upon us. Come, Lord God, we're helpless without you. We can't do anything, Lord. It's by your Spirit. It's not by our works, Lord, it's by your Spirit. Oh, God, you set upon your handmaidens. You're part of your Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. Oh, God, this is a day. Jesus, upon all flesh. Upon all flesh, my King, my God, my Lord. Upon all flesh, Jesus, upon the Russians, upon the Chinese, Lord, the Argentinians, Lord, the English, part of your Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, God, part of your Spirit upon all flesh. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thine hand is not short that it cannot save, neither thy ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, God, thou art the God of all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thou art the God of battles, hallelujah. Thou art the mighty one of Israel, the rock, O Lord. Oh, God, pour out of the rain, pour out of the rain, pour out of the rain. Pour out of the rain, pour out of the rain, pour out of the rain. Oh, God, to everyone, grass in the field, bright clouds, Lord, bright clouds, a clear vision. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Pour out of the latter rain. Pour out of your spirit. The double portion. The double portion, Lord. The glory of the latter house. Oh, God, we're in the time. We're in the time, Lord. It's time for you to move. Oh, men have come to an end of themselves, Lord. Men have come to the end of themselves, Lord. It's time for God. It's time for God. It's time for God. It's time for the latter rain. Oh, God, we can't do it, Lord. We can't do it. You got to do it, Lord. You got to hear from heaven, Lord, and heal our sin, heal our land. Forgive us, Lord. Hallelujah. You've got to do it, Lord. We can't do it. It's time to call unto God. Father, we can't do it. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom, Lord. You're the only one. You're our hope. You're our hope, O God. Through Jesus Christ, send the Holy Spirit. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, God, for everyone, grass in the field, pour out of your spirit upon all flesh. Pour it out upon Ireland. Pour it out upon the United States. Oh, God, we need the touch of God from heaven. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Pour it out, Lord. Pour out of the latter rain. Oh, mighty signs and wonders. The greater works, Lord. Heal the sick. Open the blind eyes. Cast out devils, my God. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Oh, God, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, Lord. Oh, that thy old men shall dream dreams and thy young men shall see visions. Oh, thy daughters shall prophesy, Lord. Oh, God, it's time for the latter rain. Oh, God, it's time for the latter rain from heaven, Lord. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Oh, God. You promised, Lord, you promised in the last days there the corn and the wine would run down, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, there'd be great revival, Lord. You promised, Lord, mighty signs and wonders. Oh, God, the glory of the latter house. God, you've kept the good wine until now. Lord, we're looking to you. Oh, God. For the latter rain, the form in the latter rain, Jesus, in the first month, the whole thing. Oh God, we know it's the time. We know it's the time. Oh God, do not tarry, Lord. The world is waiting for you, Lord. The church is waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Oh God, we're on tiptoes, Lord, waiting for the mighty hand of God to move. Send us forth, Lord, into the harvest field. Oh God, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh Lord, signs and mighty wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Oh God, it's time, it's time. It's time for the witnesses to come forth, Lord. Oh God, in the mighty power of the latter rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh Lord, it's time for the vision to be fulfilled, Lord. It's time for the burden, Lord, to be wrought in the earth. Oh God, the world's waiting for you, Lord. The church is waiting for you. Oh God, it's time for you to descend, to bow the heavens and come down, to make darkness thy pavilion, Lord, to ride on the wings of the cherubim of glory, to uncover the channels of waters. Oh God, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. God, it's time for thee to move, Lord. Make thy saints glad in glory. Hallelujah. Cause us to sing and dance in the heights of Zion, Lord. It's time for God to move. Lord, it's time for the latter rain. It's time for thy miracles. It's time for the name of Jesus to be exalted, Lord. Oh, God, wicked men rule in the world. It's time for God to arise. Oh, yes, Lord, the people perish for lack of God. The world perishes for lack of thee, O God. O God, wisdom falls in the street. Righteousness perishes. Lord, the teacher and the student alike, Lord. The mean man humbles himself. O God, Jesus, it's time for you to turn and rain righteousness upon us, Lord. We're a needy people. We're a needy people. We're a needy people, O God. We need to be bathed in thy spirit. We need to be bathed in thy spirit. We need to be bathed in thy spirit. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 This is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes, behold the ripening grain. Mighty signs and wonders in His precious name. Drink, oh drink, my people, for this is latter rain. Oh, this is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes, behold the ripening grain. Mighty signs and wonders in His precious name. Drink, oh drink, my people, for this is latter rain. Oh, this is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes, behold the ripening grain. Mighty signs and wonders in His precious name. Drink, oh drink, my people, for this is latter rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Ele alava hai alava ghanda alava hasi, ekele alava hai alava ghanda alava hasi. Ikiri alavahaya lavagahandala lavahashi. Ikiri alavahaya lavagahandala lavahasi. Ikiri alavahaya lavagahandala lavahasi. Ikiri alavahaya lavagahashi. Ikiri alavahaya. Ikiri alavahandala lavahasi. Ikiri alavahaya. Ikiri alavahandala lavagahasi. Ikiri alavahaya. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, 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 blessed be thy name. Let the whole earth be full of thy glory. Let the whole earth be full of thy glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the whole earth be full of the glory of the Lord. Cause the name of Jesus to go from pole to pole, from horizon to horizon. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The whole earth is thine, O Lord. The whole earth is thine, O Lord. Worthy art thou. Oh God, fill the earth with thy glory. Fill the earth with thy glory, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every creature, O Lord. 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 By thy power, by thy might, O Lord. Every creature, O Lord. Every creature, O Lord. As by thy name, O Lord. By thy name, O Lord. Let the earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Exalt the name of Jesus all through the whole earth, O Lord. cause every knee to bow. Hallelujah. Every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh God, fill the earth with thy glory. Fill the earth with judgment and righteousness, oh God. Fill the earth with thy praise, oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every creature, O Lord. Every creature, O Lord. Every creature, O Lord. Oh, God, stretch forth thy hand over the face of the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By thy power, O Lord. Oh, God, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh God, bring it to pass, bring it to pass, bring it to pass, bring it to pass, bring it to pass. Oh mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, to stretch forth the heavens. Oh God, bow the heavens, come down, O Lord. Oh hallelujah. Fill the earth with thy presence, O God. Fill the earth with thy revival glory. Fill the earth with thy Son, Jesus Christ. Fill the earth, O Lord, with thy praise. Oh, God, it's time for thee, oh, to come down. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. It's time for God to move. It's time, O Lord, to show forth thy glory. It's time, O Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. It's time, it's time, it's time. Oh, mighty God, over the face of the earth, move by thy Spirit. Pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh, O God. Oh, that we may glorify thy name. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that God may be pleased. Oh, that God may pour out his Spirit. Oh, that God may fill all earth with his glory. Oh, God, we love you tonight, Lord. Blessed be thy name. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, we believe you for every creature. All flesh, O Lord. All flesh, O Lord. All flesh, O Lord. Oh, God. Oh God. Oh God. Avarakaha na lavakaha siriya. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, yes, Lord. Oh God. Oh, let the earth be full of thy glory, Jesus. Oh God. Oh God, fill the whole earth with thy glory, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Fill the whole earth with thy glory, oh Lord. Oh, we praise you. Oh God, don't overlook one human being. Not one, not one. Fill the earth with thy glory, Jesus. Oh God. Search them out, Lord, in every aisle. Every tribe, every hamlet, every village, Lord. Isolated places, God. Touch you with your Spirit. Oh, we love you tonight. Oh, Jesus.
Surely thou hast spoken, O Lord.
Oh, God.
To thy people, O God, Jesus. In this place.
Yes,
Lord. Surely thou hast stayed and guide, O God.
Oh, God.
To the light that did shine from above.
Oh,
it shall rise upon thy people, O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God.
It shall come into the heart and into the mind.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To follow the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In these last days.
Oh, God.
So the Lord will lead the guides. Every sincere and honest heart. That is willing to turn his life over to him.
Yes.
For surely thou art able in this day and hour,
yes,
Even that salvation has been paid for all. The Lord God Almighty is our God, and these we will worship and follow. Lord, where we know, God, that there is an enemy of mankind that is loose upon the earth. And, O God, we thwart his purpose, Lord, that thou mightest appear as thou art, the mighty one, the holy one, and the one that is able to give victory in battle in these last days. For therefore we ask thee, O God, what wilt thou have us do?
Yes,
let that light shine upon our pathway.
Yes,
let that Spirit of God come forth in our hearts and in our lives.
Yes,
that we might be led by him who knew us the end from the beginning. Lead us and guide us, O God.
Yes.
That our steps may not falter, O God. That we might not stumble in the way, Lord, but that we might hold our head high, looking unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith,
Jesus,
to the end of our day, O God, or till thou shalt save now. For surely thou art the God of this day and hour.
Yes,
you are.
Thou art Almighty, O God. Thou art the truth. Thou art the way, and thou art the life. And this we accept, Lord, and turn away from ourselves, and turn away from the world, and all that it promises, and depend, we will depend on your promises. Blessed be thy name, O God, in this Lord and through us, O God.
Yes.
That we might follow in your footsteps. Lord, that as this wonderful season has come our way, we shall know thee like we have never known thee before.
Yes.
But Christ that is alive, and us as thy people that are dead to ourselves, and walking with him in the newness of life. We depend on you, Lord, for our very breath. Therefore, we turn all to you, Lord, that thou mightest be preeminent and all to each one of us, to each home that is represented. May each one that is a priest in his home take his office seriously and go forth and plead for those of his household. Oh, with it, joy. With it, joy, God. Thou art and hast provided the blood-stained banner. Blessed be your name forever. Thou art our victory, Lord. From this day forth. In Jesus. Christ, our
Redeemer. Brother Rankin, would you pray?
Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for your presence here. Hallelujah. We just worship you this night, Lord. Pray, Father, we love. Father, as we depart now, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to be with us. Go with us, Lord, before us, over us, and at us, Lord. Hallelujah. Just keep your hand upon us, Lord, for good. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Everybody amen. Said, amen. Now shake hands. Be friendly. Want to talk to Brother Thompson? Amen.